Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your hosts, Jason Fernandez.
And me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better
boxes.
Welcome to
the Best Hour of Your Day. All right, team. Welcome back. Best Hour of Their Day. Most of you guys probably know these guys, unless you've been living under a rock. They've both been around the CrossFit space for a long time. Sharm and Blake from Lasso Frameworks. You guys primarily, former box owners now, and we'll talk about that, both now former box owners.
Yeah.
And you guys do paid marketing for affiliates, and I've worked with these guys in the past, known them both for a very long time. And we wanted to chat a little bit and just give some people some high level discussion on paid marketing do's and don'ts. Dive into the specifics of that. But Sharm, we were talking beforehand and I said, hey, stop talking. Let's talk about it on the podcast. But you shut your gym down, dude.
I shut it down. 13-year affiliate owner. Started in my garage and grew it to what it was. It was just one of those things. I think that the journey had come to an end. Nothing necessarily bad or horrible happened at the gym. You know, obviously, I mean, that's how we know each other. Just all the years of friendship and stuff. I wouldn't change that. But got to the end of the year and I'm big on, let me look at the next year, right? Like what's going to be our thing? And if I'm being honest, you know, Lasso had sort of been my primary focus full-time thing for the last couple years.
Right.
And going into the new year, I was like, I think it's time, even though, you know, I was like, I know it's time, but man, I'm a 13-year affiliate owner. This is what I'm known by, right? Like, this is how people know me. How can I just shut it down? You know, how can I not sell it?
Did you struggle with that identity piece? Was that a significant battle for you? Like, did you identify as an affiliate owner and did you struggle letting that go?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a little, right? Like, definitely a little. Like, I've been doing two things for so long, right? You know, mentoring with Two Brain all those years and then doing Lasso, you know? So I've always had the gym and something else, but the gym, I mean, that was my thing, right? Like that's how I sort of identified myself. I'm a gym owner. I got a successful gym, blah, blah, blah. And I do this other stuff too. And so when it was coming to the end, I was like, man, I just should I just drag this baby along until I can't drag it along anymore? And I was like, no, that wouldn't be right to my coaches, to my staff, to my people. So I was like, all right, we're going to do it. And I want to say, I sent out an email on around January 10th. And I was like, hey, January 28th is our last day of operations. Obviously, that was Armageddon. People texting me, reaching out. Some people want to know if I was dying, if I was sick. It was everything. So
I could see that people would be like, you're like, are you going to start sending out thank you cards for some stuff that people did 20 years ago? Is like a, you know, this is my last, you know, effort to rectify my wrongdoings in the world. And you didn't sell it. You literally just, so the gym's going well and you're just like, I just don't think this is in our life plan anymore. Like, we're just going to shut it down. So somebody's probably listening to this and like, what the fuck?
Oh, there's definitely some people thinking that, because I had people reach out to me and say, what do you mean you're not selling it? Now I'm going to be totally honest and transparent with everyone. My wife and I, it was a big disagreement, right? Like we're in this marriage group with some other couples, and her and I in front of the group, we got into a big disagreement about closing the gym or selling it. My wife was like, I don't want to sell it. I don't want anyone to take it over and sort of tarnish our name and this type of stuff. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, if we sell it, I don't care what they do. And
not ours anymore.
Correct. We just didn't see eye to eye on that. And then, you know, the more we talked about it, the more we prayed about it, I was like, you know what? It's fine, right? Like, it's not about the money. I've gotten my money from, you know, I've got my money out of Dynasty CrossFit,
right?
Like, started with $10,000 in a garage and like, I've gotten my money out of it. So we were just like, I was like, okay, honey. All right. Let's just close it then. Not sell it. You know, we sold all the equipment. That was kind of cool. And that was it, man. Clean cut, right? Like, we just cut loose. And
do you own the build?
I did not. They would never sell it to me. That would have changed everything.
Oh, so I have questions there. Yeah, I mean, now you're, I mean, obviously that's the goal. We're trying to figure that out right now. It's just like very complex here in Virginia Beach. Was your lease up? Did that have a factor in, did that play a factor in that?
Man, it all worked out. So like I had been in this spot for about 8 or 9 years. When I first got in the spot, I signed like a 5-year lease. Right. And then after that, you know, I was such a phenomenal tenant, always paid a day early, right. No issues. They basically put me on a month to month forever. Right? They never bothered me. I never bothered them unless I needed something. So when I reached out to them and said, hey,
the terms of the lease, they're just
no
rate and everything.
Correct. So when I reached out, they were like, okay, you know, obviously we hate to see you go. Your last day will be, you know, January 31st. I was just like, perfect. So I just, yeah, I was literally able to walk away.
Okay. So let me ask you this. We're 2 months, well, a month or 45 days post shutting the gym down. How do you feel about it?
I feel great if I'm being honest. There's some freedom.
I would, you know, only want you to be honest, just for the record.
Like there's some freedom, you know, there's freedom that comes with it. Right. Again, right. Being in the, you know, being in the trenches for so long, right. Been in the trenches for so long, it sort of warps your view of hard work, right? Man, gymming is hard. Gymming is great, right? Like you can make a lot of money, you know, gymming, doing it the right way. Like I made great money from my gym.
Right.
But now not having that, I realized the type of freedom that I have, right? Like I'm no longer necessarily tied to anything. So yeah, like I feel great. I'm still, you know, for me.
Let me ask you this, right, before you go on further, because I do think about this a lot. And I'm also been doing this long enough that I'm not so naive to think that like one day I also won't want to do this anymore. Like,
yeah,
like that's a real thing. You know, maybe yeah. I will, maybe I won't. But I'm not naive to the fact that like I'm not one of these people just like I'm going to want to do this forever. And I'm like, I mean, probably not. You know, it just depends on what date on the calendar is that.
Correct.
How have you been able to take stock in how much either emotional or mental bandwidth that the gym was taking up? And were you naive about that when you still had it, if that question makes sense?
I would say, yes, that question makes total sense. And I would say, yes. I would say yes and no, right? At okay. times, I would be like, I got to get rid of this thing. It's just taking up too much of my time
right.
and I shouldn't be focused on this. And Blake would be like, bro, you got to get rid of that thing. I was like, bro, like, what are you talking about? Like, I got to, like, this is my thing, right? This is my baby. Like, and then, you know, after we shut it down, being, like you said, being 45 days out or so, I don't care who you are. You have no idea of the freedom that comes with it, right?
Just the mental space. You're just like,
correct.
Like all these things that I think about, I just don't have to think about them anymore.
Like nothing, right? Like you, there's no, yeah, just none of that stuff of owning a brick and mortar gym business. Like it's just gone. Just basically, you know, it'll take you about a week or so to realize, hey, no one's going to text you about this and this and that. And you're like, whoa, this is it? So when I'm out in the evening, no one's going to text me and say anything. It's pretty nice. I'm not going to lie.
Dude, I remember we talked to when we had Ryan Fisher on the podcast. It's probably 2 years ago. I don't remember if he talked about it on the podcast, but we definitely talked about it either before or afterwards. And he's really good friends with Alex Hormozi at this point. And Alex told him the same thing. He said, dude, get rid of it. He was like, just sell it. And because you have no idea how much attention you could put towards the thing.
Yeah.
And I do wrestle with that. And the one thing that holds me back is I still don't think we've done, actually don't think, I know we've not accomplished here what I intend to accomplish. And also for me, this is our incubator. So this has tremendous value to what we do in an affiliate university. I mean, like everything that we do, I consider it to be our little superpower. And I'm not naive to the fact that it does take bandwidth, but it does give as well. It gives a tremendous amount of ideas, perspective, context, so that when we do work with gym owners and we do teach them things, I'm speaking from the here and now. Like, I'm doing, this is my current version. And if I morph it, I'm going to tell you what the next version is, you know? So I'm not naive to that fact. I view it slightly differently, and I don't know if that's right or wrong, to be very honest with you. I do wrestle with it quite a bit, but for now I'm good with it. But I also am okay with that changing in the future, whatever that looks like.
Well, here's the thing, Fern, right? I think for me, piece of it, I held on to it a little bit because, you know, I felt like Dynasty was where we could, you know, like we could test a lot of stuff and right. not test it on our clients and stuff like that. But I also believe when we were on these calls talking to gym owners, and I could still say, hey, like, you know, I have a gym. I have a 13-year CrossFit affiliate that was like, huh, as opposed to, oh, yeah, we used to be gym owners and, you know, perception is reality. Oh, these guys couldn't do the gym thing, so they got into this marketing thing.
Dude, right? That's something that for me, I also had to hang up on that, which is like, I don't want people to think that. However, I have come to grips with like, at some point, you don't need to worry about that anymore. At some point, you've reached a level of success where you're just like, I did it. And you just hang your shoes up and you're like, I'm done, bro. Like, I don't need to keep playing anymore. Cool. Like, I did it better than anybody else. And I'm not saying that's where I'm at currently. That's my goal. But
correct.
At what point you get there, you're like, yeah, I'm good, man. Like, let's move on and let's direct all our energy towards this thing. So that's cool. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you, your family. I'm excited for what that means for you guys at Lasso's. That's cool. Congrats.
No, thanks, man. Yeah, no. So yeah, all of you guys listening, you have any questions, just reach out to me, man. I'll give you the raw, honest truth. Again, I'm not going to sit here and say that it hasn't been bittersweet, right? Like, again, 13 years in the game, all the friendships, relationships, and memories and all that stuff. I mean, that'll be with me forever. But just not having the brick and mortar has definitely been freeing, to say a minimum.
The reason I wanted to talk about it on the podcast is because you shut this down under probably ideal circumstances. You're like, I just don't want to do it anymore. It's good. And I'm just like, I'm totally okay with it. I don't want to shut it down. I want to redirect my efforts. But there are a lot of people out there who are just drowning and they're like, I just can't shut it down. I can't do it. I'm like, oh no, you in fact absolutely can shut it down. And that doesn't mean that you can't revisit this idea later when you have, you know, more perspective, more time, more resources, you know, you're in a better position in life to deal with all of these things. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, just, it's okay for you to be like, hey, it didn't work this time. I'll get it again on the next round.
Well, it's funny you say that because, so two things before we move on. One, this first time I'm probably publicly saying this, like I always tell my wife, if I open up another gym, like it'll be a women's only gym and she'll be the face of it, right? I feel like women's only gym could absolutely crush it, but that's neither here nor there. And two, one of the sort of funniest / whatever comments I got was, someone online, I posted, they were like, well, what about your members? Like, you didn't tell them beforehand, like, what are they going to do? And I was like, they are going to join one of the 7 affiliates in town or not, and they'll be fine. And I think that's the thing that keeps a lot of owners in. They're like, well, what are people going to say? What are my members going to, your members are going to be fine, right? You may think that, like, they're going to be fine. Like, they're going to join another gym. They'll still love you when they see you. But the sun will still rise. Everything will be fine.
They will move on. They're not gonna stop their lives because Dynasty CrossFit is no longer functioning.
Not at all. Not at all.
Good for you, dude. I applaud you for being able to do that, and more importantly, just being willing to share that. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's switch topics. I want to talk a little bit about anything new that you guys have going on, right? So, real quick, for anybody that doesn't know what you guys do, give a real quick bumper sticker of what services you guys provide.
So yeah, so what we do is we run, like, there's so many companies out there that like teach you how to do it. Like, we're not that. Like, we're not a mentoring company. Like, you got enough roles going on as it is. Like, we're going to run your paid marketing for you. You know, last year we spent over $500,000 in paid ads. So we know exactly what works, what doesn't work. So rather than, you know, those guys out there like Hormozy that say, spend twice as much on a test of what your one member would cost, which for most people probably be around $400. You got to do 10 of those tests to see what actually works. You're spending $4,000. So everybody always says like, oh, it just doesn't work. Paid marketing doesn't work anymore. It's like, no, you just don't know what you're doing and you don't have the capacity to do it, right? So we take all of that out, that like, hey, we know what works. We tested it. And to be clear, we're not saying free anywhere. We're not doing free 6-week challenges or anything like that. So we manage all of your ads. We set up all the integrations on the back end. We look at it every week, 2 weeks, to make sure your cost per lead is down. And then we also get on calls every 2 weeks in the beginning and monthly with our clients to make sure that marketing funnel is going well. So we're not just focused on, we're going to get you 1,000 leads or 100 leads, right? We're focused on, hey, where are things falling through the cracks between leads, booked, showed, and closed? Because you could say, hey, I got 100 leads and we signed up too. It's not working. And so we look at the funnel and being like, well, actually, you had 20 people come in. You just really suck at closing people. You were two for 20. We got to solve a different problem. It's not the leads. It's your process, right? So the other thing we do is, and we've realized how beneficial it is, because every call we get on, and I'll let Sherman go into this, is I'm amazing at sales, right? I'm amazing. But they always forget Susie's best friend brought them in. And of course you're amazing. Susie sold them for you. Like, you basically have to screw up to get them to sign up. So, you know, cold traffic, if you're at 80% or, you know, 80% with warm traffic, cold traffic, you're going to be like 50 to 60%, if that, of sales. So I'll let Sherman talk about the other component of what we do.
Well, before you move on, this is important, because people are like, just one of the things we'll talk about is when is a good time, or when is it okay or appropriate, or whatever you want to say there with regard to, or ready to start paid marketing. And some things you just put up there. One is, if you struggle at all, and I mean you are not 80% or higher on your worst day conversion, which requires two things. Number one, that you know your numbers. And number two, that you close 80% no matter what on warm organic traffic. My recommendation, I tell people this all the time, I'm like, you should not be doing paid ads, because you're not going to be able to close cold traffic. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's a great example. I actually just got off a sales call with a client that really wants to sign up with us. I'm like, you were 4 for 10 on organic traffic. Like, it doesn't matter if we get you more leads. You're 40% right now. It would actually be beneficial for you to sign up with us, do a month of just sales training. Let's get you to 80%. You would actually make your money back of our cost, even of the ad management, which is the sales, and did the numbers for them, because you would make an extra $800. In month two, you're making $1,600 if they stay and do the same thing, right? Because the guy's like, okay, well, I'll just start spending more in ads on my own. I'm like, but that doesn't change your conversion rate,
right?
Like, you know, so that's a huge thing. Is then the other thing is like churn too, you know, for people listening, like if you're losing like, you know, 10% of people, all we're going to do is pour more water into the holy bucket, right? Like, you need to make sure you have your systems, like you're at like that 5%, you know, 3 to 5% churn, because it doesn't help you just to get more clients that are going to leave your gym in 2 to 3 months, right?
So just there's two metrics. Two metrics you just brought up there. One is that close rate, 80%. And on the back end, for me, I look at like, you need to be crushing organic traffic. And on the back end, you should be 5% churn or less. If you are above 5% churn or below 80% organic, you have no business. Like, because those two numbers will only increase, meaning like your churn will increase and your close rate will decrease. They will get worse with paid traffic. Like, there is no other scenario. Three is what we target for everybody. Five is considered you're doing a good job. Under 3%, I have found that there is very little to no ROI in digging in past 3%, because now you're talking about the 3% of people that are just quite literally leaving. Moving. Like, they're moving, right? Yeah. So I'm like, there's nothing you can do about that. But if you got 3%, you are on Mount Everest when it comes to retention. Dude, and we have gyms that do 3% who are running, you know, 200 person gyms, running $1 million in revenue.
Ooh, that's good.
Doing 3%. And this is the point that I always tell everybody. I'm like, that is your greatest lever.
Yeah.
Retention, right? It makes everything easier. For sure. If you don't know those numbers, you got to find them out. And then if you're going to make this leap into some of the stuff we're going to talk about today, this is your litmus test for, do I have the capacity, the skill set to even step into that world? I always tell people it's like gambling. Like, you cannot sit down at the blackjack table and not know the rules.
Yeah.
People are just going to eat you alive.
Correct. Correct. I agree. No. I think that's, you know, that's one of the things that we hear most often. You know, we do sales training, you know, we work with their staff, the owners, whoever, but everyone, you know, everyone is a big word. Everyone's always like, oh yeah, I'm good at sales. Like, I just need more leads. And then, you know, 6-8 weeks down the road, I can't get these people to convert. And then they're more open to sales training, because most gyms, when they first start, like, they hear the sales training and they like it. Everyone sort of knows that, yes, sales training is needed. They really don't dive into it until, you know, 6 to 8 weeks after, when they realize, okay, these people really are different. And when I say different, sort of to piggyback off of what Blake was saying, they're just not the members who've already done the legwork, who've already made the decision that they want to join your gym. Regardless, they're just following protocol. Some of these people are literally at work, or even worse, driving down the road on their cell phone, and they say, oh, that looks like a cool ad. Let me click on that. Oh, okay, the next step is going. Okay, let me go in and see what they're talking about. Now, they've just heard about your business 2 days ago, and now you're trying to tell them that they have
to go.
Correct. Now they have to talk about, now you have to convince them to pay you $200+ a month long term. You have to really be able to sell your product and talk about how they're going to benefit from this. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about sales, like, number one, that is both an art and a science. And if you've not read a ton of books on sales, if you've not read a ton of books on copywriting, if you've not read a ton of books on, you know, how to build landing pages and all that kind of stuff, make no mistake, like, you don't actually know that much about sales, because sales is such a deep well.
I agree.
And again, you hit the nail on the head, Blake and Sharon, both of you guys, with your, everybody's like, I'm good at sales. I'm like, no, that person made up their mind before they got there. You just didn't mess it up.
Yeah.
Because anytime we'll kind of work with people, in a lot of those instances, we're like, I'm like, hey, what's your sale? Like, show me your sales process. And they're like, oh, well, they just come in and we sell them. I'm like, this is my point. Like, that is neither a process nor scientific in any nature. And you also can't show me the numbers. So no, you're not good at sales. Like, people have just decided they wanted to buy from you, which, good for you. That's great. But the problem that we see is people don't understand the blind spot. Like, they're unaware of the deficiency, and in some instances, unwilling to acknowledge the deficiency, which is like, oh shit, I'm actually don't know anything about sales. I'm like, how to handle objections? Like, how do I, is it a phone call, in person? Like, how do I manage all of that stuff? Like, that takes reps and reps and reps and reps and reps, and you need to practice a lot, and you need to have like a very dialed in system with regard to that, and do frequent training and upkeep on your skill sets and reading and learning. So it's a necessary part of the job, right? You own a business where I sell a service, so sales is part of the game.
But no one want, like, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but so many people, man, they come to us and they're just like, well, I don't want to be sleazy, or, you know, I don't want to come off that out. And I always say, listen, regardless of your personal feelings, if you want to grow this business, you have to get good at sales. Because if you don't, I was like, put me in your town. I was like, put my gym in your town, and we're across town from each other. You're not good at sales. You let them walk out and they're going to come to my gym. I promise you, they're never coming back to your gym again.
Ever.
Right? Because when they get in front of me, I'm going to talk everything that they want to hear, let them know why my gym is the best thing for them, and then they're going to sign up before they leave. I was like, so you're actually doing these prospects a disservice if you don't get great at sales. Because if they leave you and go down to Anytime Fitness or whoever, and they have a great salesperson, now they're going to join there and not get the results that you know that you could have provided for them.
So when you guys bring people on and you start doing this sales training, what are a couple of the big ticket items that you guys see on repeat with regard to things either people don't know just at all, or they do know it and they're wildly deficient at it?
Well, the biggest one is objection handling, right? Like, what do I say when someone gives me an objection, right? Like, that's really, like, we could not talk about anything else. The objection handling is a big
piece. That's a whole 6-week course by itself.
Oh, man, at a minimum, exactly, right? Like, the objection handling, right? Like, well, she says that she needs to do this or think about this. Okay, like, how do you respond to that, right? I think objection handling is the big one. And also, people's process, right? So many people really don't have a process. Like you're saying, well, I'll commonly ask the question, okay, if someone brand new to fitness, because here's the thing, Blake and I, we've been on this for a little while. You don't need to ask someone if they've done CrossFit. If they don't tell you, they haven't done CrossFit. Don't be lazy. Like, that's a lazy question. Don't ask, oh, have you ever been a member? Don't ask. That's a lazy question. You're trying to get out of the whole sales process. If they've done CrossFit, you will know. We all know that. So when they come in, like, what's the, you know, yeah, what's the criteria?
They were wearing Nobles when they showed up. They do CrossFit.
Exactly. Like, it's easy to spot, right? Like, it's easy to spot. But a lot of people, they just don't have a prospect. You know, they just don't have a process. They'll be like, well, you know, they can come in and do this, or they can do this, you know. And I'm just like, no. It needs to be one way, so that if something isn't working or the close rate plummets, we know that everyone is doing the same thing. So we can look at the sales funnel and say, okay, let's fix this. But if everyone is sort of doing their own thing and mixing it up a little bit, we'll never get to the bottom of this thing.
Hey guys, if you're an affiliate owner and you're struggling with your time, one of the things that we help affiliate owners with is prioritizing what they should be working on and when. That's one of the key focuses inside of Affiliate University. So if that's something you struggle with, hit us up, set up a call. We'd love to chat with you, but we want you guys to run better boxes. So we'll see you on the inside. The objection handling is a big one. And inside of that, what you kind of highlighted there is what we just really preach hard, which is you got to know your numbers. Because knowing the numbers and knowing every step of that process allows you to zoom in really quickly and really deep on the part that's broken. So we have like specific sheets that we build people because they're like, hey, I'm not closing. I'm like, show me your logbook. And I show it to me. I'm like, right there. I'm like, what's happening between those two points? And if we solve that, this whole thing gets better because that math. And I've talked about this at when I've done keynotes at the summits. If I have a list of figures, if I'm thinking about my sales pipeline, I go left to right. That math is compounding left to right if you fix it. The further left you go and I fix something, I have compounding interest as it goes to the right. So think like lead hits my website to sale. And there's a bunch of stops in the middle of that. Exactly. The further I go left and the further I fix those problems, the higher the compounding interest is to the right. So I've done the math on this for people and shown them like, hey, if you were to improve, let's just say you had 6 columns in there. So it's a lead, you know, contact, discovery call, consult, foundations, new member, right? Like those are your basic pipelines. If you increased your leads by, I don't know, call it 10 to 15%, right? And any number of ways, nothing crazy. Right.
Yep.
And then you were to target increasing all of those other columns by 10 or by 15 to 20%, you would double the size of the business. That's how that works. Double. Yeah. Right. With 3 more leads and increasing every single one of those pieces, you would double the business. And that's why people are like, I need more leads. And I'm like, no, homie, you do not need more leads. Right. In the vast majority of instances, I'm like, you need to fix a bunch of this other shit. Then we can talk about more leads. Because there is a time where you need more leads. That's a real thing. Most people, if you're not a 200 plus person gym, don't need more leads.
Yeah, and it really comes down to, like, you know, I think we've had this talk before of people, like, when you just can't sign up more members than your churn, right? Like, you're doing everything organically. You got your system. Like, we always say, like, our best clients are ones probably doing 20K minimum and above. And also that, like, they have been through like a mentoring service and they have their systems, they have their processes, they not doing free trials, like stop doing free trials. And then they know that process and they're just like, I'm losing only three to five members a month, but I'm only gaining 3 to 5. And I'm just like, I need that influx, but everything else is dialed in, right? So that's really something.
I want to go back to something you brought up there. When you say don't do free trials, why? Why do you guys not? Because I agree, but I want to know your reason behind
it. Yeah, because anytime you put free on anything, it's like, I used an example a while ago of like, you see images for, and this is no offense to anybody that bought one of those like little cold plunge things. They're like $100 compared to like the cold plunge one that's $5,000. Right. When you say free on an ad, it brings in the wrong type of people. Just like when you market something that's $100, you're going to market differently than something that's $200. Right. If you say free on everything, come in for a free day trial, you're getting the people that want to try things, not actually people looking for a solution. And here's the other, the biggest thing we found, because we're working with a franchise now that do like 5 day trial. Now you're relying on your coaches that actually sell. Like all of your coaches, because they might come in any of your class, and your coach most like I never had one coach looking back that actually wanted to be a coach because they wanted to sign people up, right? So this person's like, yeah, they're like, oh my gosh, that was the best class ever, and like they literally just don't even ask them, hey, would you like to sign up? And then you're tracking them down for the next 3 weeks trying to get them to sign up.
So, dude, I was having a conversation yesterday on a small group call for one of our clients, and they're like, oh, this is a problem. Oh, it was about nutrition. And they're like, oh, we're just like, nothing's happening. I'm like, there's no ask. Yeah. You're not even asking for the sale.
Why would they buy?
Why would they buy? And they're like, oh, we told them. And I'm like, told them what? That you have a thing? And I'm like, but you didn't ask them to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like simple things like that people just don't recognize. They're like, oh, there's quite literally no close to this process.
Well, I think this is I think this goes back sort of to everything. I think people just in general, unless you're wired or been trained a certain way, people are afraid of the word no, right? So it's the same way sort of how we got on this podcast. How many times did I ask you, Fern, we need to get on the podcast? Fern, we need to get it.
Well, for the record, I was just like, I want to. I just like.
Correct. I know, no, but I'm saying, but then finally you're like, guys, I'm not going to do it. Here, I'm going to put you in contact with these guys and they'll get it done. And then that's what happened. But most people, when they ask it and someone says, oh, yeah, but I need to think about it, that's sort of it, right? Like that's sort of it. Okay, well, they came in, they'll come back when they're ready, and they sort of just let them lie dormant. And that's the reason the nurture process is so important as well, because you're not going to sign up every single person.
Thing with a free trial is you're actually not solving any problem they actually have. You're not knowing the problem they have. So you never get to talk to them. Like their problem, they might go into the class and they actually need personal training. Like they had an L4, L5 herniated disc. They walk away so sore they can't move for a week, right? Like that person never should have done a free trial, nor they should be put in a class. It's like, we need to do an extensive onboarding process and 2 months of personal training to build up your core to actually ever get you in class. Let's revisit this in 90 days and assess where you are. So you're not like people buy for a solution to the problem, those free people have tried Orange Theory, F45, Metabolic. They already know what a class is, right? It may be structured a little different, but they don't know how your gym is going to solve their problem compared to everybody else they tried. So, and you don't get the chance to talk about that. So then it's like, you don't get to upsell them into like, hey, you eat McDonald's 5 days a week. I don't care if you come in 12 times a month. Like you're not going to get, like you need our nutrition program too, right? But you don't know that in a free trial class, right? So you get to like that deep, like people always say they buy off emotion. You'll never pull out the emotion in a free trial class.
It could be done. It's very hard.
But yeah, you got to pre-qualify them before they come in. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. All those things need to happen, which goes back to the process. So two things we've highlighted so far. One is objection handling and how to start doing that. But then the other thing that you guys we're kind of dancing around here is the follow-up, meaning there should always be, if I interact with somebody, meaning like I get a response of some type, either a response to an email, a text, a phone call or something. Gym owners, listen to what I'm about to tell you. The number of people that just let that person leave the conversation without setting a next step is absurd. Never, ever, ever let that communication break without setting up what the next step is. Perfect example. I was watching some leads come in. I don't handle them at our gym. anymore. Occasionally I'll just pop in there just to play around or whatever. And the lead was like, hey, I'll hit you guys up when I get back from vacation. To which most people would be like, okay, cool, let us know. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. The answer is, when do you get back from vacation so we can set a reminder and follow up with you?
Yeah.
That's the answer, right?
Yeah.
Remember, people forget, you're in control of the sales process. And when I don't set a next step, I'm no longer in control. Like, I'm always setting up the next interaction, whatever that might be.
No, yeah. I agree. And I think the sale, so many people, they don't understand this. This may blow some people's mind, but the sales process starts from the time that they become a lead, right?
Yes.
Once they click, like once they become a lead, now they're in the sales funnel and you start doing what you need to do to get them in front of you, whatever your process is. But so many people, they'll be like, well, no one is coming in or no one is doing that. I'm just like, okay, like what's your process once they give you their info? Oh, well, we just let the automations go, or if they're serious, they'll come in. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, Infern, I'm going to go off on a tangent, but we're not going to go there. It's 2024. If you don't have a CRM, Stop. Just shut the business down right now.
What's a CRM?
Wattify is not a CRM. Neither is, like, those aren't CRMs. Oh, man. So CRM, if you don't have something that's automated, you have a campaign, and a campaign that's actually built out more than 1 week, right? People, it's been proven it takes 8 to 10 touch points before somebody will buy. If you're only touch pointing them 3 times, like, that's another thing. People think that, like, hey, they didn't respond to the first week, they're a bad lead. No, they actually might be a better lead because they're doing education on their own to figure out, is this the place I actually want to go to? And there might be a better sign up later on because you're not selling them when they come in. Dude, and then a lot of people, here's the best advice we give to people. Actually care about your leads like they're your spouse, or hopefully you treat them well, or somebody you're dating that you want to get to know them. Not like, oh, cool, see ya. Like, hey, talk to them like a real person and interested in their goals and things like that. But don't make like 5 paragraphs long. Just text like you text normal people.
Yes. They're like, what do I say? Ask them a question, you know?
Yeah. What are your goals?
Emojis.
Yeah,
please.
I don't know. I dig emojis. Memes are good. I'm rebuilding multiple campaigns right now so that they're significantly longer and they're much more personal. I was like looking at some stuff today. I was like, oh, these need a refresh. Like, so that's now my project here for the next 2 months. I'm going through refreshing all of them and extending them quite long to where like some of these will go 6 months probably.
Good.
You know, you're talking about 35 to 40 touch points.
Good. That's great. Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, Blake and I, we're Story Brand certified guys as well and blah, blah, blah. And when we were creating our campaigns and stuff, we were just like, all right, we're going to do it. We're going to do it right. Man, we have campaigns that are built out for 18 to 24 months. Right.
Right.
Because that's what it takes. Right. Like, I had a lady, like, it was weird. She came into my funnel and time wasn't right for whatever reason. I couldn't remember the details, but she got one of the emails or text messages like a year later. And she was like, hey, like, I appreciate you following up over the last year. Let me know that you're thinking about me. I'm ready to come in and sign up. And I was like,
I'm available this afternoon.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, like Blake saying, you just can't. Like, last week I was on vacation. Anyone that knows me knows I like my vacations. But when I'm on vacation, like, I don't want to be bothered with anything back at home because there's really nothing I can do except ruin my vacation if it's bad enough. So don't call me. Don't text me about anything. And it's much easier now without the gym. Shout out to not being a gym owner anymore. But if you know, had I signed up for something and you text me for those 8 days that I was gone, I wasn't going to respond to it. And if you didn't follow up with me on day 10, when I was back in the saddle and ready to do something, I probably would have just went on to the next thing and said, oh yeah, like that, you know, that place seemed okay. But I also reached out to another company and they were following up. I'm saying, okay, like, now it's time to dive into this. So yeah, like a week follow-up and stuff like that, guys, is just not enough. There's not enough touch points. You need a lot of touch points. I always joke around, I want everyone to tell me, hey, man, leave me alone, or hey, yes, I'll be in. Like, that's what I want. I want one of those two answers.
Yeah, people are like, how often should I follow up until you get a no?
Yeah.
Be like, I'm not doing it, dude. Leave me alone. Stop. If it's a text, they're like, stop. I'm like, cool, pull them out of the funnel. People are like, man, people are responding, stop. I'm like, great. Now we've just thinned the herd. Everybody else is still in there. Like, get rid of them. Get them out of there.
One thing too for gym owners is like, people don't understand response time. Like, getting back to a lead, like, a day is horrible. Like, the reason you're not getting people booked, you're like, I would call three other companies by then. Like, honestly, gold standard is within 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Because people are busy more than ever before. They're going to forget. And if you're taking hours to get back to them, even an hour is too long. Like, you know, if you have a couple people that can, and you can break up the hours, like two people are managing it throughout the day. This person's from, like, you don't need to respond like at 8 p.m. Like, just get back to them the next morning. Right. But business hours, like, break it up. And the more that, like, you're on top of it, the more it shows, like, oh, this place is actually serious and they have their stuff figured out. If you're waiting for a day and say, I call a lawn company and it takes them 2 days to get back. Sorry, I already called somebody else and they respond.
We talked about this on a recent, we did a 4-part series on turning leads into lifers. And that was one of the key components we talked about, that is like, speed matters. And I don't care how you feel about it. Like, there is mountains of evidence to suggest that is a statement of fact, is that speed kills in sales. And getting back to them. So there's two components to that, I think, particularly for CrossFit affiliates, because that's the only people I'm talking to. Get there quickly and make it personal. Right. If you need to make it automated because you're the only person there and you just can't do all the things, I get it. My recommendation is set those notifications such that you get notification every time. Get it by text, get it by email, fucking pigeon courier, whatever. Like, make sure that you get a notification and then send that out personally.
Yeah.
Right. That will, both of the speed plus the personal aspect of that, for a lot of people in a world that is largely automated, they'll be blown away by that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think the other thing is
video.
Yeah. Video is great. Yeah. Better, dude. Yeah. You know. And the thing is, like, in this world of, you know, AI right now, I always say that, like, the gym that always makes it personal is always going to win. Always. The gym that's counting on AI, like, it's going to become zero on the phone. I just want to talk to a real person, right? Like, people are going to figure out it's AI. Like, AI is going to get better. Like, don't get me wrong. It's good, but it's never, like, when somebody says, Susie says, I want to lose 30 pounds and I feel horrible about myself. For you to say, Susie, we got a program for you and we have other ladies just like you. When can you chat? And you affirm her and empathize with her. You're going to win over the AI. It's just like, oh, great. When can you come in? Right.
Perfect. Press two.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. I think that's the bigger thing, right? Like, AI is going to, like, it has already improved some things for us greatly. I'm not disagreeing with that. But on the flip side, I mean, let's think about all of these companies that, you know, you have to call into. Like, they have quote unquote AI on their built-in system and press one and zero, and everyone's still, most people, regardless of your issue, you're still trying to get to that person.
Zero, operator.
Yeah.
Real person.
Right? You're trying to get to a person. And I think that that's one of the things that AI helps us tremendously, but it doesn't replace us. Yeah, but it doesn't replace us.
Here's where I think I see a lot of people making mistakes with AI, with automations, with systems in general, which is they're trying to build out AI or automations to replace themselves in the personal interactions. And I'm like, that's a huge swing and a miss. You should be building out AI and automations and systems to free up all of your other time so that you can have more personal interactions, so that you can double down on the real person aspect of it. Like, that's why you want to use AI to help you refine content copy, to help you clean up reports, to help push you information faster so that you can have ready access to things that help you make decisions on key indicators with inside of your business, to help it prompt you to have communication with somebody, not have the communication for you. Yeah. That's what you should be using all of that for, to be like, hey, you need to call Sherm today. I'm like, okay, great, call. Otherwise, I'd have been like, I forgot, right? I didn't know I was supposed to do that. So yeah. That's where I think AI can be a huge lever, because we're in the relationship business. We're not
correct.
We're not SaaS companies.
Yep.
Right? Like, and that's not
with copywriting. Well, even with copywriting, like I'll write a post and I'll use AI to like refine it a little bit. But even what I noticed today is like when I actually just write a post and I'm passionate about it, will always do better than AI. And always, like in every platform, because it doesn't know how to empathize with your audience. It doesn't know how to connect with your audience. So AI is just a tool to like produce more content, but still that content is not going to perform better than if you actually know how to write copy. Right. So
I think it will speed up the process, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You can use AI is you can give it like programming, right? So like whether you get your programming from a third party provider or not, and I don't care who people get their programming from. I only see that as at best 70% done. And if you're going to use AI for like ChatGPT or things like that, that's a 70% done product. And you should take that so that you don't have to start from nothing. Yep. And you're like, oh, okay, I kind of see the basic format of how they wrote this, or I don't like that at all. That looks like garbage. And then I go back and then I refine that. But I do the last 30%, which is the polishing of that.
Yep.
And it speeds things up so much.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now I can produce three times as much of that, but it's still me behind that.
Yeah. You put it in AI, you get something, then you refine it, and then you produce it, right? So totally agree.
What do you guys think most people don't understand or need to know about paid advertising? Like, what are the bogeys there, or what are the misconceptions about paid advertising?
Honestly, right now, and I say this because I just saw somebody say that like paid ads keep going up, right? The cost per lead. In the last year, I have never seen cost per lead so low. Like, it has been like $10. Like, I used to say 20 was our threshold, now it's like 15. And I don't know if we're just gotten better. Honestly, it's probably because we're getting better at copy and testing more things on a larger scale to know what works better so we can dial it in more. But I think, you know, a report was done that it's what, $37 to $47 a lead now for fitness studios. So if you're spending, that high. But, you know,
we had 12 organic. The last three weeks we've been over. We had 14 organic. We had 28 total last week. 14. We had more organic aid. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the thing about it too is, I'd say twofold, is A, paid ads still work, right? And paid ads still work on a large scale because you're never going to reach outside of the people that follow you. Other than if somebody shares it, if somebody like what, if you, unless you're great at organic, and somebody reaches, or you're doing Google ads or, you know, SEO, that stuff, but they still work. But the problem is when you're doing it yourself as a gym owner, you don't know what works, right? And then having a horrible offer, that's one thing. But I think I'll let Sherman talk on this, is just is knowing your metrics and the misconception of like the actually how somebody buys and the process of not every lead that comes in that saw an ad is actually going to say it came from an ad.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, Sherman, you want to talk about
that? Yeah. So, I think this is one of the big things that we're figuring out lately is that, you know, people, they want this marketing to be like so clearly defined, which I get because they're paying it. I want to make sure I'm getting the ROI. But my big thing is, hey, okay, let's say prior to working, let's just use us for example. Prior to working with us, you are on average signing up 5 people per month for the prior 4 months. Sign up 5 people. Okay, fine. 4 months after that, you're averaging 10 people. To us, that's 100% increase in signups. We don't care. We don't want to hear about, well, this person came, you know, these 8 people came from my website and blah, blah, blah. You really can't say that because most people, they really don't even know where they first saw the interaction. A perfect example, one of our guys, he has a big gym, 450 people. And he was running ads to his page, right? So there's no other way to see his kids. Business. Yes, for his kids program. Yeah, for his kids program, right? Yeah. So there's only one way to see it is if you see the ad, then you end up back on that somehow, right? And he did that. His signups just went through the roof. But if you just look at the numbers, you would say that has nothing to do with the paid marketing because
it went to the same page.
Correct. Like it went to the page.
No way to delineate whether they just organically landed there or it came from the ad. Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Like I bought a shirt yesterday that I saw it on an ad. I didn't actually click on the ad. I clicked on the Instagram profile, then went to the website. I actually never bought it from the ad. Right. So you have to understand reverse engineer the buying cycle. And we always say, like, this kind of sounds bad as a paid marketer. The worst leads are going to be the one that just like click in an emotional state and opt in. The best leads are going to be like, I'm going to go look at this gym page. Wow, they have some great photos, which is A, if you're going to run paid marketing, the importance of posting every day and great content. This looks like a really great place. Okay, now I'm going to go visit the website. Oh, their website really speaks to me. I'm going to opt in on the website, right? So the best leads are always going to educate themselves, but they would have never found you. And the leads are always going to say the last step they took. I just Googled you. Or I drove by, like,
right.
They don't care about your paid marketing budget. All they care about is the last step they took. So that's what they're going to tell you, right? So the main thing is focusing on, take your 4 to 6 month average of new clients, say it's 3, and then you start getting 12. You had a 400% increase in that 1 month. Keep doing what you're doing and focus on that, right? Because what you're doing now is working and it's going to compound over time. Right.
Well,
and then you'll find when you cut it off that those leads go away.
So as your leads go up again, look back at the house too, because if your leads go up and your churn starts to creep, you now have the same problem, just at higher revenue, which is actually a bigger problem. So check it back, because if you're running better leads at lower churn, dude, you're not growing by 3 or 4 anymore. You're growing by 7 or 8 or 10 or 12. I track cancellation holds on a weekly basis, and this year we have been crushing the previous 2 quarters of last year just on churn. Mm. Why? We put a bunch of stuff in place, be like, hey, we can bring that down, you know, 1.5%, 2%, which is not small. Again, that's compounding over time, right? Like, I'm going to keep them, and then it's going to compound on the next month and the next month and the next month. And it's paying off, right? Like last month, I think we were plus 11. I think we'll end up, we're projecting like plus 10 this month. So we're going to be plus 21 over a 60-day period. We're 60% to our annual target in 2 months' time, which gives me a buffer to maybe have a slow month here or there, which is, you know, if you look at over a larger period of time, like whether I went negative seven on 1 month and plus 22 on the other month, I'm like, zoom out a little bit. Are you plus 36 on the year? Good. Keep going.
Exactly. Yeah.
If people have questions for you guys, or because you guys run a podcast, what's the name of the podcast?
Blake, what's the name of the podcast?
Gym Marketing Made Simple. And if you have questions, Sherman doesn't even know. Head over to lassoframework.com.
It was their best episode ever.
Yeah. I think one thing too, don't, you know, we talked about good clients and who's it. If you're like needing to hit a home run next month, to like not shut down your business, we're not the company for you. Like, we're not the company that says we're going to get you 30 signups. Like, that's not what we want. We want to grow your revenue by 50 to 100% over 12 to 18 months span.
Right. Yeah. It's that's a super gamble. That's like going to the casino and be like, I gotta pay the mortgage next month, and I'm going to do it by getting black. Probably not, my friend. Probably. Cool. Well, appreciate you guys. If you guys have questions, go ahead, reach out to these guys. Like, I've known them forever. And there's few people that I trust in this space. Like I do these guys, and they will do the right thing by you. And that, which might mean they tell you no. Okay. And that's totally fine. But if you guys have any questions, reach out to them. Not me. I'm not the paid marketing specialist. I'm just going to,
don't want to be.
So, but yeah, appreciate what you guys are doing, and hopefully we get to catch up soon and in person. So,
yep, sure. Definitely.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast. We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call. If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.